Talk about it, Spencer. We'll talk about the doom. Hashem, the Darshan, what was the case of Chana Bezer Blimey Jam? What did the name of the doom? What's this all about? So the Gemara begins in the Sochem and the Vav, quotes in the Chodesh at the Nine, when is the person supposed to start being shown the Darshan of the Bezer? So one time it says 30 days before, the other time it says 2 weeks before, from the first Nisan. What's the, where the Chodesh come from? So the Gemara quotes specifically for this Chodesh. The Gemara says that according to the opinion, it says, you have to prepare 30 days before. So the Gemara says it's based on the Pesukim of Bashas Baloscha, that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Christ over the dinner of Pesach Sheni, even though it was only Pesach Rishon, and it's 30 days away. So the Gemara says, just as Moshe Rabbeinu prepared them 30 days in advance of Pesach Sheni, who was the Navi, he has to prepare the Pesach Rishon 30 days in advance. That's one Makkah. And the other time, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, that you only have to prepare 2 weeks in advance, show them the Darshan 2 weeks in advance, what's the Makkah? So the Makkah is from Pashas Vot, as the Torah says that the Rabbi started to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, he was telling Kaisrael, the dinner of Kerbin Pesach, 2 weeks before, the Moshe Nisan, that's what he said to them. So Pashas be Paschim, like Shloshim Yom, that seems to be what the Maskana Sefer Gemara is. The Gemara is very clear in the Sefer Tzachim that this Machlok is about what is when the Shalom V'Darshim applies. It's not just an Achimina for the Shalom V'Darshim, but it has effect in terms of actual defense per se. Anyway, this idea of Shalom V'Darshim that we pass from 30 days before means that in a certain sense, they call the chiyuv mepesach achal 30 days before. That's when you have to start to worry about it for Pesach. Before 30 days, so then Pesach's not really coming yet. So it's too far away. In 30 days, so then apidin, all the chiyuvim of beyond have already chalim. What does that mean practically? So the Gemara says, what's the din of the following case? Let's say there's a mitzvah from the Rabban of Jigas Chomets. The Mishnah says that all the abos of Bokin is the Chomets that are in there. So let's say a person is not going to be home by Leil B'Jigas Chomets. You know, he's not going to be home by Leil B'Jigas Chomets. He's not going to be home for the whole week of Pesach. So what's the din? He's going to go to the Farish, he's going on a caravan, he's going on a boat, he's going on a cruise, he's going to Dallas, he's going to the Bahamas for Pesach, wherever he's going, he's not going to be home for Pesach. So the question is he mechuyev in this takonas acham, or la bos, or both of the chomets that are there? So Pasha, the din in Achtorah of Ayurabah and Bok, is that he was mechuyev in. So midaraisa, for sure he has to be concerned about the chomets, but as we'll hopefully talk about a little bit next week, the din deraisa of Ayurabah and Bok, say, probably doesn't require real deepest chomets. There are other ways to circumvent the problem in Achtorah of Ayurabah and Bok. So the form of takonas acham of or la bos, or both of his chomets that are there, so what's the din? Does this person have to be worried about it or not? So the Gemara says that it depends. That if he's planning on coming back during Pesach, so then Avadi has to be worried about it. Because at least the way Tosos understood that the reason for B'dikas Chomets is Gezeirah Shem Yovel Yochel, we're afraid the person will come to eat the Chomets. So if I know for a fact or suspect I'm coming back during Chol HaMoed sometimes, then Avadi has to be B'dikas Chomets. So let's say a guy's leaving in December 1st, and but he knows he's going to come back April 10th. April 10th happens to be the third day of Chol HaMoed. So the din is Avadi has to be B'dikas Chomets before he leaves, because otherwise he's going to end up with a problem Gezeirah Shem Yovel Yochel. So let's say the person is not planning on coming back. There's no intention of coming back during Pesach. So in a certain sense, the Gezeirah Shem Yovel Yochel really doesn't apply. So the real problem with Gezeirah doesn't apply to it. The only problem is that maybe the Chiyuv was already Chalamim. Maybe the Chiyuv already set in, maybe in a very good place. Once you become Mitzchayv and Yidu from it, then you have to fulfill that obligation. So the Gemara says, assuming you're not going to come back on Chol HaMoed, so then it's going to depend on whether you left within 30 days or you left before 30 days. If you left within 30 days, then the chiyuv was chalim already. If you left before 30 days, then the chiyuv wasn't chalim. So you have those two things working in your favor. Namely, you're not planning on coming back, so the Talmud Gzeira doesn't apply to you. And you left before 30 days, so then the chiyuv was never chalim to begin with. Then and only then, there's no obligation to do the Gzeira from it, assuming you're not going to be home, you're not coming back to your Pesach. So here the Gemara took this idea of 30 days and Shalom V'Darshim of the Pesach after the Sugya Pira, but this didn't stop in the Roman days, and is learning that Shalom V'Darshim is not just a chiyuv in terms of Talmud Torah, not just a chiyuv in terms of learning, but it affects the whole chiyuv in Hayyantiv, in the sense that that's when the potential chiyuv of Yom Kippur. There is a question that everybody's bothered with concerning this din of Shalom V'Darshim of the Pesach and the Pesach Lamed Yom, is that there seems to be another Gemara that, how to use the word contradicts this, that seems to ignore this. The Gemara says that you're supposed to learn Hilchos Pesach and Pesach, Tzatzeras, Tzatzeras, Moschach, Bekai. You're supposed to be involved in learning the Halachos of Pesach, Hadbeis, Tzatzeras. The way the question is presented by the Tzatzeras is, is that from one line of Chazal, Shlomo Bichas HaPesach, Dorsh Bichas HaPesach VePesach, you're supposed to be learning the halachas on Pesach, so it sounds like on Pesach here, about before Pesach. No, there's no chiyuv to learn them beforehand. Whereas the other Gemara says it's chiyuv to be shalom and darshim beforehand, so a stira. So at first glance, it's not a stira altogether. One could argue that they're two different things, they're both true. They're supposed to learn the halachas Pesach before Pesach, that's also true. And then you're supposed to chazar on Pesach, so whatever you didn't finish the first time around before you have to. So you shouldn't think that it's over already. No, there's a need to be learning outside. The Yom Yom, there's a need to be learning. Focus based on our basic crusade. So the whole kash is a little bit funny kash to begin with. But this kash is yes. The basis is presented as a kasha that it would appear from the Gemara about Shalom books of basic and basic that the din is only on basic proper, but it doesn't apply before basic. In the earlier, the Gemara's discussion was here before. How do you resolve that problem? So, quick as a Rishonim. What exactly does it mean, Shol Duchas Pesach, Kol Pesach, Lamed Yom? So the simple pshat of the Gemara is that this is the Torah's Chiyuv, this is a mitzvah, so this is the Torah maybe, the Gemara does learn some something from it, this is whatever you want to call it, so it's a Chiyuv to be Shol Duchas Pesach, it's a Chiyuv, everybody to sit down and close the Gemara, so we can do it for next week, we always close the Gemara anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. There's a Chiyuv to sit and change the topic of the Yeshiva and sit and learn a Duchas Pesach, before Pesach. That's the partial pshat. So the Ran quotes a razzle-dazzle pshat, but that's not really what it means. But Sholem Bukhs of Pesach doesn't mean that there's a chi of gomer to be Sholem Bukhs of Pesach. Sholem Bukhs of Pesach means that it's appropriate to be Sholem Bukhs of Pesach. What does it mean? Why should one think it's not appropriate? So the Ran explains as follows. There's a din that, say, a Rebbe is saying a shir. So the Gemara tells us that when a Rebbe is saying a shir, and the Talmud asks the question, so the Rebbe is supposed to answer the question. If he knows that he answers the question, yes, he doesn't know, so he should refer him to another Rebbe. But the Talmud asks the question, so you have to answer the question. Let's say the Talmud asks Shaloi Ki'inyan, the Rebbe says it could be others. So one of the Midrash occurred in a big place is Shol Ki'inyan of Eishat Allah, he's supposed to ask on a topic. So let's say I'm taking a Shiyam of Sechah Sanhedrin. And somebody asked me a question, mamish from left field, there's nothing to do with it. Say, guy asked the Shah of Shemitah or something, nothing to do with Sanhedrin, they're not talking about the top or anything. Say, guy asked a question, nothing to do with Sanhedrin, he asked a question about Sanhedrin or something. Somebody was there, yes, that'd be a test, I'm going to show back Sanhedrin. And crazy is that. So the din is, I'm not looking to answer the question. So the Rabbi said, Nasi, he was learning in Hilkos Rivias, and somebody asked a Shah of Shabbos, he says, but how do we Shabbos this year? That's next year. This year we're learning Rivias. You have to keep your questions. So that halacha that the Talmud asks the question, Shalom Ki'inyan, not the chayv to answer him. So there's an exception to that rule. The exception to that rule is if he asks in Yom Diyom. Let's say Mimlo saying a Shiur Sanhedrin, and a guy raises his hand from the back and says, Rabbi Sablowski, does orange juice need a hashkach for Pesach? So my mother say, what? There's many questions. I'm taking a Shiur Sanhedrin, get out of here. And I'm like, no, he's asking an appropriate question. That is Shol Ki'inyan. It's not Ki'inyan the Masechta, but it's in Yom Diyom. So in Yom Diyom is considered to be also considered to be appropriate. So it comes around and says, that's what it means, that Shol, but with the Pesach, Shol and Pesach, Lamed Yom, doesn't mean that you're mechuyev to be Shol. It doesn't mean there's a Torah's chiyev to ask questions, you have to ask the middle of Shia. It just means that if you choose to ask the middle of Shia, you can't label you as a Shol Shlok in Yom, therefore the Rebbe has to take you with the utmost seriousness. So that's what the Rishonim point out, there seems to be two gear sauce in the Gemara. We usually have the gears of Shol and Vidarshim, Vilkos HaPesach, Kona Pesach Lamed Yom. So the Sub Rishonim seem to have the gears of Shol and Vilkos HaPesach. They didn't have the gears of Darshim. Shol and Vidarshim is the catechism that you're supposed to be Shol and you're supposed to be Darish. You're supposed to be Shirim going on in terms of Vilkos HaPesach. Whereas if you hold that there really is no chiyuv of being Shol and Vilkos HaPesach, just a Rishos. But if you want to, you have the ability to do so. Then perhaps the correct gear of should be shown in books of Pesach rather than shown in the Darsh books of Pesach, perhaps. Yes, and the Pesach, I'm just telling you that it's appropriate. I mean, what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing was, it's not telling you that Mechuy is to follow. Moshe Rabbeinu started saying Shirur and Pesach Sheni already 30 days before. So it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching you Mechuy to do that. It just means that it's appropriate to do that. It makes sense to do that. So once you say that it makes sense to do that, so then, if the Talmud asks a question, there's something that makes sense, you have to answer it. If you're learning Rivas and you ask Shabbos, that's a stupid question. It's an irrelevant question. It's an irrelevant question, so you're not looking to answer. So this idea that the Ran is really toning down, the Gemara, so this is a very difficult shot. It solves the problem. It solves the original problem. Maybe the original kasha was happened to be that Shaul Kodesh Pesach Lav Yom. The Gemara says that you have to be Dorish on the Pesach with Pesach. And the answer is yeah. But when it comes to the days before, you're not mechuyif to be Dorish. When it comes to Pesach itself, you have the Yom, but then you're mechuyif to learn the Halachas. So I'm mechuyif to learn the Halachas on Pesach proper. In terms of before, it's not a chiyuv. It's just a Dorish Rishos. The Torah is like the Rebbe is not allowed to avoid the questions. The problem is the Gemara that appears later on and well, we're in the third part now, so we're going to share this earlier with the Sanhedrin. The Gemara discusses the sugyas of Ibra Shon. So, did you get those sugyas? No, you had the first part? A little bit? No? Okay. So, the Gemara has a whole discussion about Ibra Shon. So, we know that the din is that the month that we're going to be Ma'ab is obviously going to be other. Now, the Zaman is obviously we have a Luach set up, so we know exactly which years are going to be which years are not. In the olden days, they didn't know. So the olden days, they would start getting, you know, as the winter comes to an end, so they would start to get a consensus, they start to move around, they would get the Gemara says just the farmers, to see what the weather's like, how the animals doing, how the crops doing, to see whether it's really appropriate, the Pesach should be pushed off, you want to get into the Chodesh Adar. So the Gemara says that when are they supposed to do all this research, when are they supposed to come to a decision, whether it's going to be a leap year or not. So the Gemara says that they have to make this decision before Chodesh Nisan stops. Let's say this year, what's today? Chodesh Tuesday. There's Gimel Nisan already. So let's say, the person was lazy, they were busy, they were busy doing Bishop and other things, they were doing Evarupas, they never got around to taking care of Ibra Shana. So everyone assumed there's only one other, so they were Makadish one other. And then on Tuesday, the Aiden came, and they said they saw the Gimel, they were Makadish Chodesh Nisan, and they sent out the Shmuel, and told them what it's Chodesh Nisan today, very good. And then, Gimel Nisan, Thursday afternoon, they realize, you know what, it's just too cold now. Pesach now, it's not right. So you know what, let's push it off a little bit. So we'll say that, oh, well, we just call Chodesh Nisan, so we'll just change it. Tell somebody to send out another message and say, no, change the email, it wasn't Chodesh Nisan. We're going to call this other Shani. So the Gemara says, hey, now I'm going to do it. The Gemara says, we're not totally now going to do that. Why? Because the prophet says, Chodesh Hazer Mocher Rosh Hashim. So Hazer was referring specifically to Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Hazer, Hazer Shabbat, 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 to the Levana of Nisan, Hazer Reb Kodesh. So I'm so excited. On Monday night, what was the moment of it? Huh? It was early. It was the moment. It was early. Sunday, very early. So the moment was significantly earlier than Rosh Chodesh. So Monday night, you saw the Nimun already, which is the Chodesh, the full Nimun. So Monday night, I was driving somewhere with my apple, and we saw, he said to me, hey, have a look, there's a banana in the sky. It was the new moon looks like a banana. So I was so excited that it was the night of Rosh Chodesh, that you could already see the new moon, that's already the Chodesh. So I'll zen him on that sliver of moon, that little goosebumps, that sliver of moon, that's because they're ready to finish, that was the Chodesh of Nisan, because Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chodesh is not because they're ready to finish. That's what I explained to Yaakov. It was much more into looking like why it looked like a banana. But anyway, so the Gemara says on that pasuk, "Chachedish Hazel Lachem, Zen Nisan Ve'en Acher Nisan." Namely, once you're really mekadesh the month, the third of Nisan, you can't change it. You can't say, "Sorry, guys, it was a mistake. Let's start over again. We'll call it other instead." No, that you can't do. Once it was ready, Nikvah is Nisan, so then it's a done deal. So then the Gemara has the following shadow. What's the din? Let's say it was 29 days after Rosh Chodesh Adar. Now it's the 30th day. So in theory, the 30th day in every given month can potentially be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, potentially not. Now, of course, the Ak calendar comes out, so other is always a chaser. So there's always one day only of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There's never 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Nisan according to Ak calendar. So the 30th day, by definition, is always going to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But in the old days, that wasn't necessarily true. So Nisan could have also been a Mola. Other could have also been a Mola. So now comes the 30th day of after Rosh Chodesh Adar. And Beis Din is trying to decide what's going to happen exactly. So if Edom would come right now, and Beis Din would be mekabel the Edom and interrogate them, and they would say, okay, but Kudosh HaChodesh today is Chodesh Nisan, so then the Gzeiras HaKosmos of HaChodesh is Elochem, then Nisan, and HaNisan would set in, and Beis Din can't change anymore. They can't throw an Ibri just for kicks. But let's say Beis Din didn't get around to doing that. They didn't actually, there was no Edom yet. So early in the morning, they're still laughing in the 9:30. So they didn't, Edom didn't come yet. 10 o'clock in the morning, Beis Din sitting in the Sanhedrin and trying to decide, you know, today is the 30th day and it's not yet Rosh Chodesh Nisan, And you know what? It's just a little bit too chilly out there. Let's forget about this whole Pesach business and then put it off for another month and a half. So the Gemara wants to know, can they do that or not? So is that Gezeres HaKos of the Chodesh Adar Lachem, Zem Nisan Ve'Lachem Nisan, is that Gezeres HaKos of Chalia? So one could have argued that that did it on Chalia. Why is that did it on Chalia? Because it wasn't Chodesh Nisan yet. If it's Kozma, they weren't Mekadosh to Chodesh, so it's not Chodesh Nisan yet. So Kozma is not Chodesh Nisan, it could potentially be Rosh Chodesh Adar. So Gemara says, no, that's not true. The Gemara suggests the possibility, Gemara rejects it. Gemara calls it Shmuel, that whole of a royal Lachavar Nisan, since that day, the 30th day, after Rosh Chodesh Adar has Shmeks of Rosh Chodesh Nisan already. Already has potential for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So, even the mere potential to Rosh Chodesh Nisan sets into motion the Gezeres HaKos of Zeh Nisan and Achar Nisan. So once the 30th day has come, then it's too late for Yiv Rasha. So that's what the Ibn HaTorah of the Gemara says, that either if it's Mamash already Nikvaz of Chodesh Nisan, you can't be Mamash of Shavuot anymore. And even if it's not yet Nikvaz of Chodesh Nisan, but it could have been Nikvaz of Chodesh Nisan, it's also you can't say that. Well, that's their answer. Then the Gemara says, what could Dimon say? It's Erev Chodesh Nisan. It's the 25th day of Adar. So it's the 25th day of Adar, so Mehecha takes it, you can be Mamash of Shavuot, a little bit late, but it's not so terrible. So the Gemara says, you're right, Minatari you can, but Midir Rabbana, the Gemara says, maybe you shouldn't. Why? What's the problem? Is Rabbana possibly go wrong? So the Gemara explains that 30 days before Pesach, everyone's sitting and learning about Pesach already. So they started from Purim already. The people are cashing the kibbutz and the bride, the matzah, and the learning about Pesach. What's going to happen? So if everyone's expecting Pesach to be in 2.5 weeks, and all of a sudden they're going to get a message from Yishalayim saying, nah, guys, Pesach's in 6.5 weeks from now. That'll be a big zilzul of Pesach for next year. So no one's going to take Pesach too seriously. They're going to say, the rabbi's going to change it. Off the record. Like, yeah, what's more? This table there. No one's going to take it to, no one's going to take it so seriously. So the Gemara says, yeah, from the Rabbanim, the Rabbanim instituted, that once Purim comes along, and they still haven't declared it to be Shnas Ibar coming up, so then they shouldn't do it anymore. It's not a good idea. It's a bad idea to be Ma'av Roshana after Purim. And the reason why the Gemara says is, I juiced it up a little bit by saying, everyone bought the matzahs and cash the kibbutz. What does it say? The Gemara says that since people are already, since the din is shalom, the darsha goes to Pesach, so the nail is inappropriate, it's going to lead to a mishal if you're going to push off Pesach for another month. So look over, this Gemara sounds very much against the Ran. This Gemara sounds like shalom, the darshan, there's something really going on. According to the Ran, shalom, the darshan doesn't mean anything. According to the Ran, shalom, the darshan just means that if somebody asks a question, so we won't throw him out of shiur for asking a question. We have to take this question seriously. But it doesn't mean that anyone's really learning this Pesach. It doesn't mean that the shiur have stopped learning Sanhedrin, they're now learning Sofim. It doesn't mean anything. So what would be the terrible mishal if a week after Purim they decide to push off Pesach for another couple of weeks? The Gemara doesn't say because people bought baked matzahs. The Gemara says because the shalom of the darshan was a Pesach, so therefore it's going to be somehow a mishal gabi Pesach. That Gemara sounds a little bit against the Rav. It sounds like shalom of the darshan is more than the way the Rav presents it. It sounds like shalom of the darshan means that something really is taking place. That there's a real chiyuv to be shalom of the darish. And once the chiyuv sets in, we don't want to do away with it because that's going to lead us a mishal of Pesach in the future. So we don't want to go with the Ran's Mahal and talk what's the answer to the Kashi, and assuming that the Kashi is a Kashi, assuming that really is a question, one Gemara says you shalom b'darshan before, one Gemara says you shalom b'darshan on Pesach. So how do you resolve that the problem? So the Mishnah Berurah, at the beginning of the Pesach, suggests the following, that maybe there are different chiyuvim in the following sense, that what's the makor? So the idea that Shalom B'Darshan goes to Pesach Chol Pesach Shloshim Yom, that's the Gemara from Sachem Davav, but the model for that was Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Man Yomu said 30 days, the model was Moshe Rabbeinu teaching them about Pesach Sheni, 30 days. The model who said 2 weeks is Moshe Rabbeinu telling about Pesach Rishon 2 weeks before. So that was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rosh Hashiva, he was the Rav, he was the Nos, he was everything, the Beis, he was the Hakol Mikrokol. So said the Mishnah Berurah, maybe, earlier from Zayda's idea, and maybe the chiyuv to be shol v'dorish, the opposite of Pesach, you want to put it in the al lingo, it's not a chavis and yochid. It doesn't mean that each person has to stop learning their regular dafyomi and learn psalm from now. What it means is it's a chiyuv on the rabbonim, it's a chiyuv on the shibus, the base of Ad, and the shul, and the fatim midrashas, that they have to start scheduling the Pesach shirim. That's what you have to start doing 30 days before. It doesn't mean the Baal Bam has to come. So it's the Chiyuv. The Baal Bam has to give Shiyuv, the Baal Bam has to come. It's like the rest of the year. The Baal Bam gives Shiyuv, don't come. So the Mishabur said that's the Chiyuv of Shloi Shim Yom. But it doesn't mean it's a Chiyuv of Kol Echad Yachad. Okay, okay. Comes the Yom Tov proper, so then the Chiyuv is transformed. Then there's a Chiyuv, Mam Shal Kol Yachad Yachad, Kol Lul Mod, Kol Pesach, etc. So maybe that's the answer to this question. So there seem to be three different halachim as to how do you miyash this kash again, assuming that it's a kash. Either you miyash it in the simplest way by saying that they're both right, that there's a chiyuv 30 days before and there's a chiyuv in Yom Tov, and there's not a steer between the 50 of them. Or you miyash it by saying that there really is no chiyuv before. It's not a chiyuv, of course, it's a din before, that's considered to be an appropriate question. Or you miyash it by saying that one is a chiyuv on the Rav, on the Tzibur, on the Rabbanim, and one is a chiyuv on the Tamidim, on the Yechidim, on the Baal Bam.
As I am asking a question.
As well.
There was a question that they were, everyone was going to start learning, so the domestic stuff before I'm
going to do. No, so that means there's also going to be a mishnah with the Rabbanim. For the last 2 weeks, the Rabbanim have been giving shiurim, so some people come. So here the Rabbanim make the whole town around, including all the newspapers, everyone comes to hear all the shiurim of his Pesach, and then 2 weeks later they get a message from the Beis Hamikdash, well, that's not going to be Pesach in 2 weeks. So, the leads like they zilzal. Shaykh had come to the Rabbanim that nothing really actively happened in the last 2 weeks. It's just that when the lone Talmud asks the question about oranges, we don't throw them out of shiur. So you didn't really do anything yet, so it's hard to believe that's going to lead to the day zilzal.
What's the
zilzal
with the chiyuv on the Rabbanim? With someone next year, they're going to take the halacha just as seriously.
They start to see that things change. It's hard level, man. That when if they see that the Rabbanim themselves, in the mindset of the Baal Bam, they see the Rabbanim themselves also not taking it so seriously. In case it was one year this year, 1 year another year, another day. Whatever. It's not good for the focus of a Yom Tov to be switched around. What you see from the Gemara, that's not true. That's not a good idea. There is a question in the Rishonim that this din of the Shalom of the Pesach, the Kodesh Pesach Lam Yom, the Gemara only speaks about it concerning the Pesach. The one that mentions it, like Abi the Yadi Yom Tov. When it comes to the din of learning Hilchos Pesach, the good Pesach, and the Gemara says it, Hilchos Pesach, that's the Lashon Gemara. The end of the Pesach of the Gemara. Moshe Tikkun Yisrael, say, hey, Darshan, the Pesach is also learned the din of that Yom Tov on the Yom Tov per se. So yeah, there's a quote from the Gemara, but that applies across the board. That applies today, the Pesach, the Shavuos, the Hashem, the din of learning beforehand. So that Gemara never speaks about. That Gemara only speaks about Yom Tov Pesach. That's a Shaila. What's the din? Is Pesach just the example? The only reason why the Gemara uses the phrase was Pesach Shloshim Yom is because that was the Mokar, the original source was from the Pesukim, the Gemara quotes himself in the above. Well, maybe the Gemara meant no, maybe the Gemara meant. Maybe the Gemara meant that extra level of preparation, the 30 days before, really only makes sense. But Pesach has a lot of din to it. That was Pesachim. That's a pretty good 121 blatmas. That was Pesachim. Because on the Yom Tov, before Rosh Hashanah, you have to be Dorosh, Rosh Hashanah, before Shalom for 30 days. What are you going to learn for 30 days? You learn the Sugya of Sotosh Shalom for 30 days. How long are you going to learn the Sugya? Kiyah Shalom, Tashrat, how long are you talking about that? What are you going to learn? Sukkah, it takes a whole one pole in Sukkah. It's going to happen almost after a couple of days, right? Look at Shavua, it's thinking about cheesecake, plus Mechola, what are you talking about for a month before the Lord? So maybe one can argue that it's only Pesach, so many dinim, and Matzah, and Matzah, and Seder, and Ashikabra, and so many rooms of different dinim, but Pesach, so maybe only it was Pesach, but I have that special din of 30 days. So the Gemara never says one way or the other. So Rashi, in a few places, commits himself to the Shaila. Rashi, in a few places, writes, that the din of Shaul and Bilchus HaPesach, Chodah Pesach Lamed Yom, is not only for Pesach, but it applies at least for Sukkot, maybe she was also, but at least applies for Sukkot. Rashi writes that the Gemara always speaks about the Yachid Kala. So Yachid Kala, the Gemara says, were 2 months a year, that everyone would take off, and everyone would come to the Beis HaShem, so Yachid Kala today means You take off Sunday morning for 3 hours, you go to the hotel, it's a yakka. And God of events, it was a yakka, a whole month. You took off from work to sit in lunch. So Rashi writes that they would schedule the Yarek Gala a month before Pesach and a month before Sukkot. Why? So Rashi writes, in order to fulfill this din of Shalom Vidar, Shalom Vidar, Shalom Vidar, Shalom Vidar, and Shalom Vidar, Shalom Vidar, Shalom Vidar, Shalom Vidar, Shalom Vidar, so every year they would take a month off to learn in Yom Diyayma. That was the whole rationale for the idea of the three Yarek Kalas that Gemara speaks about. So Rashi is fully committing himself to this idea. First of all, Rashi is learning the Pashal Shrap, and Shalom Vidar means literally to be Darish. Doesn't just mean you have to take up a whole month of work in case the one guy asks about his chametiko on juice. So it means that there's not a fear to be dorish. And number two, Rashi is committing himself to this idea that the chiyuv to be dorish applies equally to Sukkot as well as to Pesach. Rashi says this in another context as well. Again, just as we saw when it comes to Pesach, the din of Shlosh and Yom has an effect in terms of some of the Hokus Pesach. The Hokus of these Chametz set in the Shlosh and Yom also. That carries over to Sukkot as well. What do we mean? What Chol of Sukkot? What possible Chiyuv of Sukkot? Bachal 30 days before. So there's a Sugya in Sukkot, after some an hour, from the Chayyim B'Shan Beis Hillel. So the Sugya called Sukkot Yishan. What's the din? Now it's Sukkot Yishan. Sukkot Yishan is a Sukkot Yishan. What's Sukkot Yishan? The old Sukkot. What's the din? Can you reuse a sukkah from last year? What's that about? The sukkah you show me, you bought the sukkah 6 months before sukkah, is that good or not? So the shama says that's no good, and also that it is good. What's the shama? So the Gemara explains the machlokes was that if you need the shema for the building of the sukkah, you know that sometimes the halacha says that to create a chatash mitzvah requires the shema. There are different diagrams of the Shema. There are sometimes when there are certain chetzes of mitzvahs that we use, which have kedusha to them, so like a pair of tefillin. So tefillin is not just a chetzes of mitzvah. Tefillin is the Gemara calls Megillat Hashmishi kedusha. Whereas let's say a pair of tzitzis, so tzitzis doesn't have any kedusha. Then tzitzis is a Hashmishi mitzvah. What's the difference for halacha between Hashmishi kedusha and Hashmishi mitzvah? So the Gemara Megillah says that Tashmishi Kedusha are Gignazim, you have to put them into Shemis, and Tashmishi Mitzvah on his rocket, and you're allowed to just throw them out into the garbage. You show them right that it's not proper cover for the tzitzis just to take in mops and throw it in with the regular garbage. You should put it into the shopping bag and then throw it into the garbage. There's no benefit on it. On the other hand, you know, just common decency dictates we use the pair of tzitzis for the last year, you shouldn't throw into mops together with the dirty diapers. But in terms of the Chiyuv Gnizah, there's no Chiyuv Gnizah. The Chiyuv Gnizah is only on Tashmishi Kedusha. How do you know whether something is Tashmishi Kedusha or Tashmishi Mitzvah? So the source of Kedusha in this world is the Kedush Baruch Hu. Kedushim to you, ki kadosh nesha alakecha, ha-kadosh baruch Hu. So anything that's an extension of the Kedush Baruch Hu's Kedusha, so that is considered to be Tashmishi Kedusha. So what does that mean? Anything that has the Shem Hashem on it. So the same Torah has the Shem Hashem, has the Dvar Hashem on it, and that gets the Kedusha to it. The parashas of Tefillin, so they have the Shem Hashem written on them, so they also have Kedusha. The bottom of Tefillin also have Kedusha. Why did Tashmishi Kedusha the bottom of Tefillin? So the Bayesha Rosh is for sure Tashmishi Kedusha. It has the shape of the Shekai on it. Even the Bayesha Yad, which doesn't have the shape of Shekai on it, so the Pashup Shad is that it's considered to be like buckle to the cloth. I mean, the whole purpose of the Bayesha is to house the cloth in it, so that's considered to be like one Chaticha, like one unit. Just as the parshas have kedusha to them, so the bias has kedusha to it also. There is a tosis. Yeah. The tefillin shel yad, the bias of shel yad, so it's also considered to be tashmishi kedusha. What? No, the more mafia in the sense of the Gemara said you're not allowed to switch one to the other. You're not allowed to go from the, let's say you have a bias which used to be shel rosh, so now you want to convert it to shel yad, so you're gonna. You can take a piece of cloth, you can take a piece of ore and just put it over the whole thing to turn it into a one bias. So Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that because ain't no meaning of Kedusha Chamur or Kedusha Kala. Because the Tefillin Shel Rosh Ark has to be a high level of Kedusha. But in terms of does the bias Shel Yad has Kedusha to it per se, so the Pashas that yeah, there are some who want to argue that maybe the bias Shel Yad has a low level of Kedusha min HaTorah, maybe it doesn't even have any Kedusha min HaTorah, there's a tussle for the possibility. Tosa says that how do you know you're not going to go into the bathroom with you with the Shel Yad? Tosa says the Shel Rosh. So I understand why, because the Shel Rosh is the Shem Hashem in Magula, but the bias of the Shel Yad. So who says that the bias of the Shel Yad has condition to? Because even from the Gemara, there's a suffix that the Gemara says Gemara says that the Ba'ish or Rosh has to be written on kosher animal skin, because the Matir Teres Hashem Lefishu. Whenever you write the Teres Hashem, whenever you write the Dvar Hashem, so it has to always be min amut beficha. That's the Mokal that says the Torah and the Chaf, the Parshas for the Tefillin, and the Chaf, the Mezuzah, has to be from kosher animal skin. The Gemara says, how do you know if the Ba'is has to be from kosher animal skin also? The Gemara says, because it's also the Matir Teres Hashem Lefishu. What's the Teres Hashem Lefishu on the Ba'is? The Gemara says, it's Shem Shem Zon. So it has to be the Teres Hashem. So the people gonna raise the question, but that's on the Bereshit Rosh. It's not Bereshit Yad. The Bereshit Yad type is different. That's a shell if it's on the Bereshit Yad. Well, not for now. Not really what's going on. But the Pashup Shad is that the whole Tefillin are considered to be Tashmishi Kedusha. Even the Ritzulis are considered to be Tashmishi Kedusha. Now let's throw Ritzulis down to the car and we finish with them. Because the whole unit of the Tefillin is all part of the Parashas. The Parashas is where the Kedusha emanates from. So the whole chaps of film is considered to be completely bubble good parts. Mashenki and Sittis have zero condition to it.
You call it in the film, and some say that Shem Hashem is part of the Tzuras.
Yes, that's the Kash. That tells us Kash on Rashi. Rashi says, that the Tfilin, the Shem Hashem, is not found in the whole Tfilin. The Gemara says that Moses is called the Shem Shem Tfilin. Rashi says the Kesher Shel Tefillin, that's the Dalet. The Yud Shel Tefillin, the Kesher Shel Yad, that's the Yud of the Shem Shakai. So the Tosfos says, the Rashi, that's true, that the Ritzuos have to be made to look Mamash and Dalet, for the Yud. So the Tosfos says, in Cain, the Gemara's din of the Mat, the Yotanos, the Shem Shakai, should have been the Ritzuos also. The Gemara says, the Ferish not the way. The Gemara says, the reason why Ritzuos have to be from kosher animals is a separate thing. It's another Allah, which is a different thing. It's not covered by the regular Tosfos. Well, the man did that shot to see that was his cash in action. So we feel there's no din osios on the kshar. The din osios is only on the shiv and bayish rosh. But Allah Moshe, it could be that when the Gemara says kesh of stone, Allah Moshe Mesimai, so the Gemara never says it has to look like a dal of Allah Moshe Mesimai. The Gemara says kesh of stone, Allah Moshe Mesimai. So some Mishnah seem to say that there's no din that has to have a particular surah of a dal. It just has to be a kesh, but the boys can't find anything after you make it also considered to be good. And even within those who show them who learned that it has to be a look like a dalet, so the Biskarov has a whole Shiva Torah where he claims that it has to have a Tsuras dalet without a Dinos dalet. Sounds very Biskarov. Means it has to resemble a dalet. It doesn't have to have the halachic shame dalet. On the Tilshel Rosh, so the shin which is carved into the, or pushed down, whatever you want to do there, however you make it, your shin on the Tilshel Rosh, that is a Dinos on it. It's not just, it doesn't just have to look like a nose, look like a shin. It's not pre Dinos, it's Ksivas O Shin. That's what the Gemara said, Ramanti Atos Hashem B'Ficha applies to it. That's what there were many Rishonim who said, that you can't use a mold to create the shin of the Shem Rosh. The Gemara says, let's get to the Din Chach Pechas, let's say I'm writing a get, and it's still a blob of ink on the paper, so and I'm up to writing a yud. So instead of erasing the ink and starting over again, I'll just erase part of the ink and form a yud out of what's left of the ink. So the Gemara says, that's possible in the Torah, because the Torah says, the Chosav, that the Ksivas oath has to be that you're writing the oath, not that you're removing the background, and the middle of the oath is formed by itself. So the Rishon Ben Machlekes, when you make the shin of the Sharosh, so how do you do it? How do you make the shin? So the hard way of doing it is to take a tweezer and the mamash pull out pull out the shin piece by piece. That's very hard to do that way. The much easier way to do it is to take a mold and press it against it, and you press back the background, so the nail of the shin will be belayed. So there was some Rishonim who had problems with making the shin that second one. Some Rishonim said that's the possible shin, because the din is that you have to write the shin, because the Gemara says that the shin has a din os on it. Because the Gemara says the mount the os shem b'fit applies to the trill shem rosh, because of the din os shem rosh, so there's a din of ksivas hashin. So the ksivas hashin has to be done in the din ksiv of kol tarakula. That's the shin. That was machlokes of Rishonim.
What?
Does anyone
still make tefillin that way?
The molds?
No, you pull it out.
Yeah, the nice, the expensive tefillin. Yeah. That's one of the chumras, one of the yidurim. Mikra didn't know the post come from the Taz and make on that shalom. But the chachila, one has a choice. Once you try to buy a real tefillin, but the shin was actually pulled out of the trees.
Can you tell?
A sofa could tell. Can I tell? I'm not sure I could tell, but some sofa should be able to tell. So the higher quality, you pay for chumra. So it takes, you can imagine, it takes much longer to do it that way, so you're going to pay for that. How do we get into this? So we're talking about the mission of someone like that. So there are different types of chatzis ha-mitzvahs, like chatzis ha-kedushas. So the Baruch ha-kedusha, those, for sure you have to make l'shem kedusha. When you write a Sefer Torah, so we pass it, of course, you have to write the Sefer Torah, l'shem kedusha Sefer Torah, but you have to do all the preparation before and also, and you have to keep it at all, it also has to do l'shem kedusha Sefer Torah. That's what it was, it used to be a big problem in the Middle Ages. I spoke about this again in the early tapes. BCBM tapes, you got the Ibra Or. There was a big problem, this is a big problem in the Middle Ages about when they used to write Sefer Torah, to write Shmuel Mezuzahs, that where does it go? The history, European history. The guilds, right, that the non Jews would have certain crafts. You had to be a cobbler, you know, you had to be a place, you had to be a tailor in order to do somebody who tried to enter the profession without having the official being part of the union, they would run out of town or worse. Anyway, so they had the cloth makers and the parchment makers, the gilts, all the goyim were allowed to work in that particular area. The Jews weren't allowed to work in that area, so the problem was how you know the goyim produce the cloth for us. The cloth has been made the shema. As they made the shame, you should say the Torah. That was a serious problem. So the Gemara says that you can't, whenever somebody has to be done with the shame, the Shema, you can't have a guy do it. We spoke about this, about the Akhmadat and the Nashville. We're going to talk about this somewhere.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this.
Yeah,
we did. So the Gemara says that, let's say, get has to be written the Shema. So you can't have a guy writing yet. And the Gemara says you can't even have a guy writing yet with the Jews standing over him. So Akhmadat and the Nashville are others. So some Rishonim said, that means like by a get. It takes a long time to write a get, so the guy's not going to be able to pay attention so long. But even an or, it's such a short process. Just take the animal skin, throw it into the solution, into the salt, and the lime, whatever other garbage to put in there, and then it happens by itself. But that one split second that the guy throws it into the solution, so he can have a mind to pay attention to the Shema. That was a Benabarach school. So the Rosh puts him in a Benabarach and says that all the Sefer Torah that were written in the Ashkenazi communities were aligned in the school. And the Rambam writes that's possible in the Torah. The Rambam says that the Goyim does not come out of the Shema, finish. He's mukkah from the Shema, can't create the Shema. That was a shalom to Rishon about all this big problem that they had in Europe for many, many hundreds of years. But anyway, not for now. So when it comes to Dvarim Shem Kedusha, a lot of it has to be the Shema. You have to write the Shema, you have to be the Shema, etc. But even when it comes to Chatzis HaMitzvahs, so there are certain Chatzis HaMitzvahs that also have to be done the Shema. But since it's only Chatzis HaMitzvahs, not Chatzis HaKedusha, so then it depends. Then you have to look at each one and see, is there really a din l'shma or not? So some yes, some no. Let's say, for example, a shofar. So nobody, to my knowledge, says you have to make a shofar l'shma. Nobody says when you cut the shofar off the animals, you have to do l'shma. When you carve it out, when you clean it up, you have to do l'shma. No such thing. But other chatzis ha-mitzvahs have to be done l'shma. Say, for example, tzitzis. So the strings of tzitzis have to be nitpa l'shma. They have to be spun l'shma. They have to be spun the shema. Whether they have to be connected to the bagging bag of the shema is a different shema, but the etzem of siyas achutin has to be done the shema. For a matzah, the matzah to be baked the shema, so I don't know if it's in Shomim. The Gemara speaks about shmur matzah, so Rashi holds that means it has to be shmur the shema, you have to manage baked the shema. And the Rambam seems to say that you just have to make sure it's not chometz then. Shmur means you have to be extra specially careful, not to rely on anything else except that your mom is guarding it the shem shmir mechimus. So you have different sheetness in the Abarayim, in Kanaim, in Shonim, about certain chetzes shal mitzvahs, whether they have to be made l'shmona. So one of the examples that the Kanaim and Mahoy is about is a sukkah. Must the sukkah be made l'shmona? So you do it. Rabbi Shammai said yes, because Rabbi Shammai understood, because he says, Chav HaSukkah is Tasa L'cha, so L'cha means the shem choycha. So just as a din of l'shmona by tzitzis, as a din of l'shmona by asiyas of sukkah. And it's also known that you don't have to make the sukkah the shema. Even the shaman, if some didn't mean you have to make the walls the shema, the walls are nothing. It is chafuk. We put the bamboo on the shem mitzvah sukkah. So how do we pass it in stuff like this? We have to pass it in this law. We pass it in that the sukkah that was made shalom the shema is also kosher. But the Yerushalmi says that even though we pass it in this law, the sukkah that was made shalom the shema is kosher, like the chima, they still agree to the shaman. So the sukkah is supposed to be made the shem mitzvah. The other will be kosher now, so like a chil is supposed to be made l'shem mitzvah. But since it's only like a chil, it's a chumah mid'rabbanan, it's a hidah b'yavon, which is made l'shem mitzvah, so So they still said the whole sukkah doesn't have to be made the shemitz. So it's almost part of it is made the shemitz, so it's also okay. So that's what Mishami says. Let's say you have a sukkah that was built 6 months ago, and not the shemitz was built. It's time to be a hut to protect you in, from the heat in the summertime. It was made the shemitz, yeah, it was made for the purpose of protection. It's not made for protection, that's not possible. So it was made the shemitz, yeah, but it wasn't made the shemitz. So according to Mishami, that sukkah is possible in the Torah, yeah, take it down and start over again. According to Mishami, oh, no, it's kosher, the evidence is gone, even if you do nothing to it, but if I kill him with the Rabbanon, you have to put a little bit on the Shema. That's what the Mishami says. You should take off some of the stuff. So the Mishami is a shiur, and I'm sure take off. You can have a fight death, take off the one piece sword across the whole sukkah, and take it off and put it back on. He didn't go home some of the Shem Mitzvah's sukkah. So that's only like a chila, that's a chum of Yama, according to the opinion of Beisila. So comes the Mishnah and says, this is Machlokes Bishan and Beisila, that a sukkah is shana.
It's the same sukkah from last year, as it was in the Mishnah, just the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it could be that also. They also turn that this should be made for this year, so it's going to be made for this year. So, comes the Mishnah and says that let's say you built a sukkah 6 months ago, Mamash the Shem Mitzvah, your early plan. And right now, I'm going to go book my sukkah right now. I didn't book the Shem Mitzvah sukkah, and then Bishamil, that's okay. So, my son got the Chilas Hashanah, so it's okay. So then the Mishnah says, let's say you didn't make it to Chilas Hashanah, but you made it within 30 days before Sukkot. Let's say, Chaf El, when you built this Sukkot, and you didn't say the favor, you didn't book the Zim Lashem, you didn't want to think about what you're doing. Stop, you're making a thing in the backyard. So comes the Mishnah and says that even Bishamah holds that that's okay. Even Bishamah holds that in our Torah, to Zechiv, of making a Sukkot, the Shema, Sukkot, Shalom, the Shema, the Pasuk in our Torah, or according to the Tilda, we pass it, that it's not Kashra, Chachil, with Rabbanah. So the Mishnah says that you can have a chitimtzah where even if it wasn't made the Ferish Lashmah, that's also okay. If it was made within 30 days before the Yom Tov, that's the Ferish Lashmah. So my heart, 30 days before the Yom Tov, when did that mystical, magical number of 30 days before the Yom Tov come from? So comes Rashi on that Mishnah, so that the Ferish Lashmah says that magical number of 30 days is because Shaul of the Darshan, the Hilchos HaPesach, Pen HaPesach Shloshim Yarim, and Shaul of the Darshan, the Zachak, and the Chak Shloshim Yarim. So you see that Rashi is using that idea of Shaul and Hilchos HaPesach on a level of Deraisa. It's the same way that the Gemara used it in Sach and above, in terms of the Chayvas Hayom, in terms of when the Zachir B'di is Chal. Rashi is using it in terms of the Mishayah, what the person's Kavanah is. It's understood that when a person puts up a sukkah within 30 days before Sukkot, that if everyone is ready going to the sukkah shiurim, Rabban already given the shiurim, but there's a lot of people going to the shiurim, so everyone's ready in the sukkah's mode. So the guy puts up a sukkah in the middle of February, unless he did the Ferish Lashma, it's going to be possible in a Torah going to the Shabbat. If he puts it up in the middle of September, so then it's understood that it's in the Shem Sukkah, and the din of Shol and Darshan is what creates that stama Lashma. That's what Rashi Pshat is. So, I remember point that you see from Rashi, from when it's finished, you see from Rashi, it's Rashi Lashikah. So, the Gemara Shol, the Darshan, the Pasuk, so there's also, the Gemara never says that, the Gemara only says the Pesach, Rashi carries it over to Sukkot as well.
That doesn't mean it works on a little bit, it just means that it could be that there's only a din with Rabban. Let's say the whole din of Shol, the Darshan,
but it's enough to create the Sabbath Shema. That is true. But the most important point, maybe, is Rashi Rashi, that it applies to the Yom Tov, which is, again, shouldn't surprise us, because Rashi says that by the Akikala as well. This idea that started out with this kashim with the Rishonim already were bothered. This Yosef is bothered with that Hani Miyashev, this notion of Shol V'Darshan 30 days before, with the fear of learning on the Yom itself. So the Pasha Pshah is what we said, and we could grow up, I'm saying, the Gra said, but they're both true, that there's a din of 30 days before, and there's a din on the Yom itself. It's not a steer, they're both true. So perhaps we could say a little bit more than that. One could say that they're both true, in terms of the Tiyas HaDvarim, that you have to learn the din involved before Yom Tov and on Yom Tov. But the Gedra din is different. It means that they're really two fundamentally different types of Chiyuvim. The din of learning Yom Tov Pesach right now, and the din of learning Yom Tov Pesach on Pesach, whatever you may have. So the Pashtus is that the din of learning Yom Tov Pesach before Pesach is just the Torah's Hakhana B'Alma, because the Torah's in a certain sense Mashir and Mitzvah. It's a Moshe of the Vedoma, the Beis Halevi, has a famous Shtipot Torah that we spoke about in the past, the Nasa V'Nishma. When? You know, spoke about this? Yeah. Show is spoken. The Beis Halevi has a famous Drasha. It appears in Shuvah's Beis Halevi, and it appears in his parish on Chumash also, in Baj and Mishpatim. So the Beis Halevi develops this very important Yisoid, that there are really two distinct parts of the Mitzvah Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah, even as late as you say, it starts out by saying that even if there would not have been a mitzvah to learn Torah, we would have still had to learn Torah. Let's say it wasn't one of the 30 mitzvahs. The Torah never would have said, they never would have talked about the mitzvah of learning Torah. They just would have given us 612 mitzvahs. So the Beis Halevi says, so we would have figured out on our own that we were chayav to sit and learn Torah. Why? Because how the Torah says you have to build a sukkah. So how do you build a sukkah? If you don't know what a sukkah is, so how do you build a sukkah? So says the Beis Halevi the same way that the Torah says the sukkah station should be yomim. So the sukkah station should be yomim requires of you not only to sit in the sukkah, but it requires of you to make all kinds of achanas before sukkah. So what does that mean? If you don't own a sukkah, so it means you better go buy a sukkah, you better go get yourself bamboo, you better go find yourself a place to build a sukkah. The Torah says, "L'kach l'kamei l'marisha." So you can't wake up sick this morning and start looking around for Luvin Esri. That din of l'kach l'kamei l'marisha is mechayev you, tam svar b'alma, to make the proper mashirin, to do the proper, to make the proper preparations for the mitzvah. So it's understood that whenever the Torah gives you a mitzvah, that there are certain mashirin that the Torah is expecting you to do, not to just whittle away your time before the Zman HaMitzvah comes, then the Zman HaMitzvah comes and says, oh, sorry, I was just Mutter Pacha. It's part of the mitzvah, part of the mitzvah is to do the mashirin mitzvah. You see that the greatest example of this you can find in the Sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, Vlasmila. That is what we're getting, but not. The first sugya in Rabbi Eliezer the Mila, so quote to Machlis in Rabbi Eliezer and Yakiva about this din where the Torah says that the Yomash Pudi Yimo Basar Losel. Torah says that Mila is Lech Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva said in a very limited sense, the Mila, the Akiva is Amar Lech Tepes Lech Shabbos, but having the mile drive to the person is not Lech Shabbos. And heating up the water from the pool is not Lech Shabbos. The only thing that's Lech Shabbos is the Mila per se. And Rabbi Eliezer is the significant. Well, he says, no, that the Mashiach and Mitzvah are also going to be Lech Shabbos. So the Gemara talks about the Tech of Sukkah, and how Rabbi Eliezer knows that. And the Gemara then goes on and says that not only did Rabbi Eliezer say the Mashiach and Mila Lech Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer says Mashiach and other Mitzvahs are also Lech Shabbos. The Gemara goes to the whole list, Mashiach and Lubav, Mashiach and Matzah, Mashiach and Shofar, all the Mitzvahs that, at least in the Torah, you can do these Mitzvahs on Shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer says that whatever preparations have to be made to do the Mitzvah, so not only is the mitzvah quote unquote Lech Shabbos, there's no malacha per se involved in eating mouth, there's no malacha per se involved in blowing shofar, shaking the lulav, but just as the mitzvah is needed to be done on Shabbos, and the machshir is needed to be done on Shabbos also. And Rabbi Eliezer didn't have problems with that, because Rabbi Eliezer's whole approach was that the machshir and mitzvah was it to be like part of the mitzvah itself. So this is what it says by Mila. But just as the Mila goof is Lech Shabbos, that same din that the mitzvah to be Lech Shabbos and the Mila proper, so the machshir are considered to be part of this part of the picture. Now,
doesn't make sense
with
the mitzvahs of
Malacha,
so that's the...
Yeah, so after learning Rabbi Eliezer, you have to figure out what Rabbi Eliezer's sheet is. You're going to take 2-3 blocks to figure out what Rabbi Eliezer's sheet is, exactly. Okay? We'll do that. That we'll skip that. We'll say. Even Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, who says that not the Machshirei Mitzvah, not the Shabbos, but even Rabbi Akiva agrees that, of course, you have to do Hesher around Mitzvah. So the Beis Halevi explains that Talmud Torah has a certain aspect of it of Hesher Mitzvah, that even Lulei, the fact, even though we're not giving us the Mitzvah, Talmud Torah, as the Mitzvah of the Atzmah, so Achal Pichain, we would be mechuyev to learn the Dinim, just Pasha, in order to be able to figure out how to do it properly. That's what the Beis Halevi says. If that would be true, if the whole mitzvah of Talmud Torah would only be the Torah Sashim mitzvah, so then it would be a fundamentally different type of a mitzvah. That's what the Beis Halevi says. That's explaining the Gemara in the Darim. Beis Halevi says that you wouldn't have made a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Because the Talmud Torah would have only been Mitzvah Hashem Mitzvah, so the Yerushalmi says Klal, well, the Yerushalmi may not say Klal, that's the question that we pass on the Klal, that you don't make a bracha makshir mitzvah. When you bake matzahs, you don't make a bracha. You make tzitzis, you don't make a bracha. We pass, you only make a mitzvah, you only make a bracha, something which is the atzmusa mitzvah, which is the gemara dover of the mitzvah. All the purpose, you don't make a bracha when you build the sukkah. So the Rebbe said, the Talmud Torah would have only been the Torah's Hashem Mitzvah, then you would not have made a bracha on Talmud Torah either. That's why there were some people, days like Rishon, who held that b'shita. The Talmud Torah is not important in itself. The Talmud Torah is just a means to an end, just a way to know how to do the mitzvahs. So that's why they held b'shita not to make brachas. That's what the Gemara Darim says. One of the reasons why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed was because Shmuel Birch b'Torah Tchila. They didn't make a bracha before they learned Torah. So the Beis Halevi says, what does it mean they didn't make a bracha? Because they came to shul late, they forgot to make brachas Torah, they were too lazy, they started from the Mizmor Shir, they started from the Shabbat, they started from the Krishma. They couldn't fetch out a few extra words to say brachas Torah. So the Beis Levi says, no, what Chazal mean is Shmuel Birch b'Torah Tchila meant there was a certain mindset in Klal Yisrael. There were people who thought that Talmud Torah is just to be able to, just to know what to do. That's it. As long as you know what to do, then you don't have to bother learning anymore. Some people today still have that mindset. It means, what are you learning? You know already. You know how to keep Shabbos. You know how to keep kosher. You know how to make brachas. And then you have to sit and learn and fetch more. So that was a mistaken mahalach of the Talmud Torah. But even though they were mistaken in the sense of that they thought that was the only part of Talmud Torah, they weren't totally mistaken. They were right partially. They were right that there is an element of Talmud Torah which is clearly a hechsher in terms of the mitzvahs. See, the problem is that the people sometimes quote this Beis Halevi out of context. The quote of Beis Halevi is saying that, oh, you see that Talmud Torah is not at all related to Shemiras HaMitzvahs. It's an entity in and of itself, and therefore what? So therefore you don't have to bother learning your Achad and your Adair. You don't have to learn, you don't have to know how to make brachas, Shabbos, Kashrus, Tazer, Mishpacha, because Talmud Torah has nothing to do with Shmiras HaMitzvahs. The Talmud Torah is an entity of itself, and therefore you should sit and learn Bar Metzia and Zvachim all day. So that wasn't what the Beis Halevi said at all. That's ridiculous. The Pasuk itself said that Ushmartem Basi said, there's the Feirish, that Ushmartem Asam, Ushmartem Asam, every time the Torah speaks about Talmud Torah, so it also links it to Shmiras HaMitzvahs. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim writes in his Abdom, the Sefer Mishneh Berurah, that yes, it's true that a person fulfills the mitzvah of Talmud Torah learning anything. When you learn a Sugya Zvach, when you learn a Sugya Shabbos, it's the same Kima mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So in terms of Kedima, in terms of a person having a strong knowledge of Halacha Maisa, so the Mishneh Berurah said that's a Tama Parsha like that. No one have a question. That was Dvar Pshut about an Oyed that a person has to. He doesn't quote the Beis Halevi, but it's that idea that Talmud Torah is important in and of itself, that does not at all mean to negate the fact that there is a partial kiyum in terms of knowing how to do the mitzvah properly. So some of that got lost in the shuffle. So the parasha is this idea that the Beis Halevi also concedes to, that there is a certain correct aspect of Talmud Torah which is the Torah section as well. So that seems to be what the din of Shlomo Medarshin Kodesh Pesach Shloshim Yom go about. That means it's the Torah's Hachana. That's mamash from Torah's Hachana Mitzvah. You happen to luck out, you get a mitzvah Talmud Torah also, because the Hilchos Pesach are no worse than Zvachim. So whatever you're learning, you also get a chaperayim, the one of the five mitzvahs of Limud HaTorah. But you get the special kiyum of Hachana Mitzvah also. So that learning of Shlosh Yom Kodesh Machab is Pashas, Torah, Sechshe Mitzvah, and the preparation, the same chiyuv of cleaning up before doing Bidikas Chametz. There are more rights, you have to clean the house before you do Bidikas Chametz. Why? Otherwise you won't be able to do a proper Bidikas Chametz. So it's over here. You have to learn of a matzah, otherwise you won't be able to eat matzah properly. But this din of learning Hilchos Pesach on Pesach per se, so one could argue that's like having a different halakha. That ability has nothing to do. That's not the Torah's preparation for the Yom Tov. But so this din of learning Hilchos Pesach with Pesach, that means on Pesach there's an Indian to learn the Sugi of Tashbitzu, the Sugi by Rabbi Matzah. It's all conveyed, you're first preparing now. Now you're learning how to make matzahs. Now you're learning how to get with your chametz. You're ready 3 days too late. So why is there a kiyum to learn Tashbitzu on Pesach? Why is there a kiyum to learn by Rabbi Matzah? Why is there a kiyum to learn the din of Achilas Matzah on the third day of Chol HaMoed? There's a matzah over already. Why is that? So L'chora, that's a different part of the Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechta Sota that on each mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael, so there was a multiple krisas bris. He said the Shvach was krisas karis bris on the mitzvah of Rechaz HaMazon, it was karis bris on the mitzvah of Kiddush, it was karis bris on the mitzvah of Masir Tzach. And within each mitzvah, each of the 650 mitzvahs, Kadosh Baruch Hu was karis a bris that you have to be lumod or lamed lishma balasas. You have to learn each mitzvah and you have to fulfill each mitzvah. So it means each mitzvah per se has learning, teaching, and lishma balasas to say los, los, etc. So each mitzvah is given to Klal Yisrael as a double, there's a double kiyum in each mitzvah. There's a kiyum in terms of intellectually understanding the mitzvah. Not because you're going to do the ma'aseh mitzvah, not because you're going to do it, but basically, it's not because you're going to do the ma'aseh mitzvah, because it's a krisus bris that each mitzvah of a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be learned, has to be learned, has to be spread to others, and then there's a separate, distinct krisus bris that each mitzvah has to be performed in terms of olam hazeh. And you see that there's a split between these two. You can have in a certain time one without the other. The Gemara Masechta the Shabbos, famous Medrash, the Gemara tells us that there was a fight between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim as to who's going to get the Torah. So the Malachim, they want to get the Torah. Shouldn't go to Boston. Moshe Rabbeinu finally won over, and Moshe Rabbeinu said that no, we deserve the Torah because not that we deserve it, but it's shy for us because we have the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, etc. We eat, so we need the halls of Surah. You guys don't have that. So what was the Havamina of the Malachim? Some yeshiva, you have to explain. Explain what the Havamina was. What were the Malachim thinking? When the Malachim didn't realize that it's ludicrous to them to get the mitzvah of the Sirtza, who are they going to kill? They're going to kill Michal, who's going to kill who? What's Shaykh to give them the mitzvahs? So the Russian explained that the Malachim wanted not the oil of HaMaisi, the oil of HaMaisi is irrelevant, they can't eat anyway, they can't keep Shabbos anyway. The Malachim wanted that they should be the ones who should get the limit of the mitzvahs. So they should have a shaychus to Torah, to that half of Torah. They should get a shaychus to the lumo part of Torah, even though they're not going to have a shaychus to the lasas part of Torah. And the chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu was not that the malachim were dead and wrong. The chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu was that Torah is supposed to be given to us as a unit. The chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to be together. It's supposed to be lumo and lama and mishra and lasas. And since you guys are not, you can't possibly put it in the maisa, so then we're the ones who are made of right together. The entire practice. The Malachim weren't crazy. They weren't off the home floor. See that each and every mitzvah has a dual component, the lumo and the vlasa, and obviously the optimal is to have the two combined together. But one can sometimes conceive of splitting between the two, even for us. That's what the Gemara tells us in the end of Masechta Menachos, that the Zos Torah is supposed to bring a carbon Allah, and what if you can't bring a carbon Allah? So the Gemara says that Kol Osig Mevarshes Olah, Kilu Hikriv Olah. Kol Osig Mevarshes Chatas, Kilu Hikriv Chatas. It's a special Indian, and we learn these dinners. So the Machlokes HaPoskim, is that something unique by Kashin? It's a special din by Beis HaMikdash, and Shaul Prams was saying there's a special word that when you can't do a mitzvah or maisa, so then you should learn the din. If you can't bring a carbon to mice, you should learn the din with the carbon. And that doesn't apply to other mitzvahs. And other questions say, no, that maybe it applies to all mitzvahs. I mean, so let's say a person's on a desert island and he doesn't have a church phone. So what should he do? He feels terrible. He's 11 years on a desert island and he can't put on his phone. So what should he do? Don't even quote the meeting. So what should he do? He can't put on phone. What should he do? So let's say he has a Mishnah Berurah Chagallah for him, so he should sit and learn every morning after Davos, he should sit and learn on the phone for a half hour. Why? Because some of us can say, after din of Zos Torah Sa'ilah, that whenever you can't bring a carbon Allah, so you learn the din of Zos Allah, that's the way of mitzvahs also. Whenever you can't perform it, so you should learn the din of that mitzvah. That's at some other minute, let's say Rosh Hashanah Shechalas B'Shabbos, so you should sit and learn the Shoy for that day. And Sukkah Shechalas B'Shabbos, you should sit and learn the Shoy that day, because you can't do the mitzvah, since the Chalm apart in your hands, so the next best thing you should do is you should at least learn the din of. So that idea which may extend out of the realm of Kabbalah, which may extend to all mitzvahs, that you're supposed to be learning the dinim when you can't fulfill the mitzvah. So it's not just like a booby prize, like, you know, Nebuch, you feel bad about the mitzvah, Shekhanesh Baruch, how bad you feel, so you learn a little bit. No, it's more than that. It means that the learning of the mitzvah is part of the shmiras of that mitzvah. And each mitzvah was given to Klal Yisrael as a lumot l'olam v'mishmor v'lasos. So each mitzvah has to be observed by Klal Yisrael. So true, we paskin get to malacha. We paskin that the best thing to do is to be able to fulfill the mitzvah b'shlemusa in terms of the learning and the asiyas mitzvah. But there are some mitzvahs that you can't. So I can't bring a korban olam today. So rather than saying I can't bring a korban olam, so I can't fulfill the mitzvah b'shlemusa, so don't throw the whole thing away. Fulfill the mitzvah shalom b'shlemusa. I mean, fulfill that aspect of the krisus bris of that particular mitzvah korban olam by at least being the lomay part. So the lomay part has significance in and of itself in terms of being considered to be part of the shmir of that thing. So perhaps that's the same book. The Kadosh Baruch gives us the mitzvah of not even chametz to hold people Pesach. So what does that mean? Not even chametz. So there are two parts of that mitzvah. So the part of the Kadosh Baruch that means not even chametz is physically not to eat chametz, not to put bread in your mouth, not to eat a bagel. And then there's a second part of the Kadosh Baruch that was given in that mitzvah that he's supposed to be learning the din of not even chametz. Since what would the malachim? Who would see the malachim who got in the Torah? What would they have been doing in the week of Pesach? So they wouldn't have been eating chametz. They don't eat anything. They don't have stomachs to eat. So what would they have been doing? They would have been sitting and reading the Reb Chaim Sotashvisu. They would have been sitting and learning the dinim of chametz. So we too, even though we have the mitzvah of not eating chametz, so we're fulfilling the physical part of the olam ha'maisa, fulfilling the lishma v'lasos part of the mitzvah, it doesn't exempt us from the lulav olamim part of the mitzvah. So that's the mitzvah gufa is mechayev, even though it's not a preparation for doing the mitzvah. The chametz is sold right to the guy. You're not going to, it's achen veiv, if you learn the dinner by law now to figure out what's chametz, what's not chametz. We know exactly what chametz is. We took care of everything already. But after we say the mitzvah of lo yachol chametz is mechayev you in terms of doing the maisa mitzvah of the nishmar from not eating chametz. That's also mechayev you to be oisek in the dinim of not eating chametz. So it could be that the Beit was right, but there are two different dinim over here. There's a din of learning Shloshim Yom Kadmachag. That's Peteres Hachom. That's Peteres Hechshem Mitzvah. That's just to physically enable you to do the mitzvah properly. And the second din of learning Pesach with Pesach, that's the gavri a different form. That's as an enhancement of the mitzvah of Pesach Kufa. That's considered to be the Yeruchim to learn as well as Lhasa. That's what the gavri is also. And the other one was Megillah, where the Gemara says that Moshe Tikkun on Yisrael, she Korin who was Pesach for Pesach, Yonash Pesach Pesach, she says Ha'am Chag. So the Gemara says in the pasuk Eidav and Moshe's Mod Yashem of Bnei Yisrael. So in addition to the din of learning who was Pesach for Pesach, it's supposed to be Korin in Yom Diyanah. Also Lain and Yom Diyanah. So the last sugya was Sefer Megillah spells out all the different permutations of what the Pesach Torah is. So very different in Hagim, so what to lay and when. The Gemara itself has different in Hagim. And Shavuot is like this, and Pesach like this, and the Gemara says, and Babylon did this, and Esau did this, and Kahina. The details of which parashas you lay are not so important, but the idea that everybody agrees to is that on Pesach, you have to have a Kriya Sotar for Pesach, on Shavuot, you have to have a Shavuot. So you have to have a Kriya Sotar that's relevant to Sotar. So why is that so important? Why is it so critical? So again, that's also not the Torah's Hachana for the Yom. If you're not, you're not going to read the parasha of the Sukkot Shiva's Yamim and say, "Ooh, Kavaldir, we have to build a sukkah." So already the first day of sukkah, we're going to build a sukkah. So wait already. So why do you bother? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu Masakah? You have to be kavil because Pesach and Pesach is Yisroel Chag V'Chag. So we're still at the same part that there are two parts of Talmud Torah: the Torah of Chassam and the Torah of Bapet. And the mitzvah of Talmud Torah has to include both. You have to become an expert in Torah of Chassam and Torah of Bapet. So what did Nami, when you do the mitzvah of the Sukkot Shiva's Yamim, so you're supposed to do the Ma'aseh Mitzvah. And in addition to doing the Ma'aseh Mitzvah, you're supposed to learn about the mitzvah. And learning about the mitzvah means you have to learn both parts of the mitzvah. It means you have to learn the Torah Shavuot part of the mitzvah, you have to learn the Torah Shavuot part of the mitzvah. So that din of the Krisus Bris of Lomo, which was said on the mitzvah of Sukkot Shiva's Yamim, requires of you to read the parash in the morning, to the Torah Shavuot, you have to talk about it. And then it requires you to go to Rosh Hashanah, you have to do, to learn Hilchos, to learn Chasukas. So this is, those two dinim, Korin of the Pesach and Pesach, and Darshan of the Pesach and Pesach, that's one type of a mitzvah. And the din of Shom, the Darshan, Kerim Achag, that's a different type of a mitzvah. That's why it could be why there are many Rishonim, there's a good Rashi, and many Rishonim would probably say that the Zid of Sholem, the Pesach, the Pesach, the Shloshim Yom, was only said by Pesach. It wasn't said by Sukkot. Only Rashi said it by Sukkot. Other Rishonim didn't say it by Sukkot. Whereas everybody agrees that you have to learn Hukkah Sukkot, this Sukkot. What's the difference? So he answers part of that. When the nature of the mitzvah is Hachana, so you don't need a 30-day Hachana period. It takes you 1 or 2 days with Sukkot to figure out what the Sukkot is finished. So there's no official formal 30 days of Hachana. Each person should figure out as long as it takes them to prepare. So then you can be Mechad, if Hukkah Hachana, Hukkah Sukkot mitzvah, then you can separate between Pesach and Sukkot. When you're talking about the chiyuv of learning on the yom tov itself, that has nothing to do with the chala. That has to do with there's a mitzvah to eat in the supper. There's a mitzvah to learn luchos sukkah. There's a mitzvah to not eat chametz. There's a mitzvah to learn luchos chametz. The fact that luchos sukkah is less than luchos pesach, that's irrelevant to shavuos. Shavuos is kimah no dinim, so there's a mitzvah to bring a shtel lechem on shavuos. So not so much two people on the same menachos, but the din of shtel lechem is mechayev you to learn the halachas of shtel lechem. So there's not going to be any difference between Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Those are all, everything is the same. But in terms of hachana, then you can argue maybe there's more hachana required than Pesach than Tavio. You disagree with Rashi.
When there isn't a hachana, which is a Sukkot, then what?
So then Rashi claims the same 30 days, and other Pesach says not true. But you don't need so much time for Sukkot.
Are there not commands on what you should learn, and what like topics within like the past you should learn? Do you learn things on the licenses nowadays, like 30 days before, and then supposed to think about like Korban Pesach?
Right, so it would make more sense that for a guy not to spend the 30 days before learning Korban Pesach, unless he's a big bomb and that Mashiach will come. And then, it would make sense you should learn the Chumash Matzah, whatever he needs before, and then on Pesach you learn. Then it doesn't make a difference anymore. What I'm saying, on Pesach it doesn't make a difference what he learns, as long as it's Pesach related.
Seems like Rashi is saying it's Hachana also, because otherwise, why would you be Mechad between Shavuos? Because Shavuos really, no, he could be saying that. So does a lot of luck,
Rashi holds that you also need a form of Hachana to Sukkot. There's a lot of halachas. But those both who disagree with Rashi, so even though they don't disagree with Rashi when it comes to Sukkot itself, I think most of the fairies, the Rashi of the Sukkot, the Sukkot. So what I'm explaining is that the nature of the din is different. That's just a question of quantity. It's the nature of the very, it's a difference than the very essence of the din. Okay. Alright, let's just stop here. No, we said 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 no, we said